right. I don't know if you guys remember a show about, I'm guessing 6-7 years ago called Revolution. Does anybody remember that TV show? It was kind of a weird show, a post-apocalyptic show kind of deal where everything that required power was powerless. If you had to go over and flip a switch to turn on a light, it wouldn't come on. If you had to turn a key to get it to start, it wouldn't start. Everything that we cherish today was useless. Computers wouldn't work, phones wouldn't work, iPhones wouldn't work, tablets wouldn't work, cars wouldn't work, nothing. Horsepower was regulated to horses. We lost everything in this weird moment in time where everything just switched completely off. Chaos ensued, and in an attempt to instill order back into society, the government ramped up, and things got crazier and crazier and crazier because military leaders turned into warlords and ultimately dictators. The only real power in the world was the power of brute force that was wielded by those who had the ability to do so. Brutality and desperation caused people to do horrific things. People felt helpless and lived in fear, and anarchy soon began to reign. Even good people felt that they had no options in life, and they were powerless and they were weak. They couldn't compete with the forces they were up against, and they could barely survive. And they began to hide themselves away, trying to just get from one moment to the next, from day to day, wondering if in the next rising of the sun it was going to be the last one they would see. And you know, that's kind of what they felt like in the early church right after Jesus died and rose and ascended into heaven. It's like everything that they had trusted and believed in was gone for a time frame. They were struggling through in that moment where they're caught between Jesus rising from the dead and ascending to the right hand of the Father to now what? They were hiding in an upper room praying that God would help them, but God was really silent. All they could do was trust what he had said. They were existing in fear. They were waiting for that promise that God would provide for them the power and the ability they needed to go out into all the world and make disciples. But in that moment in time, they were afraid to go out of the house, let alone go into the world. They were afraid to show their faces, and they were unable to move forward with the Great Commission, which Jesus ascended to heaven on. They were afraid to speak up or speak out about Jesus. But then something promised happened. Something really cool took place. We should be talking about this after Easter, but I think it's important for us right now. As we head towards Easter, where we remember, we celebrate the death and the resurrection of our Savior and Lord. Something incredibly wonderful happened. This promise thing happened. In Acts chapter 1, verses 8, Jesus had promised, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." That deal that he made was, I'm going to my Father, but I'm going to send you someone who's going to transform you from the inside out. Going to give you everything you need to go out into this world where you are the minority and you're going to overtake it with the gospel and become the majority. And then this beautiful thing that he had promised, this coming of the Holy Spirit, finally came in Acts chapter 2. And it says, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place because they were hiding in an upper room. They were praying. They were wondering, God, what are we going to do? You're quiet. You're not saying a thing to us. And then this happened. Suddenly a sound like a blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. And they saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came and rested upon each one of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. It was incredible because in that moment, everything changed. They were no longer afraid, and they were never alone. And every believer from that point on has been never alone. But you know, how many of you have had the power go out at your house? Anybody? Oh, come on. Everybody's had that problem. At some time in your life, the power has gone out. You know the power is out, right? You got a flashlight in one hand. You walk into another room. What do? Turn the switch on because you want the light to come on. And you know it's not going to come on, but you just got to check. But you know what was interesting in this moment in time? One of the crazy phenomenons of when the power goes out, if it goes out in the evening and the sun has already set and the lights go out, what's interesting is when the power comes back on at like 3 in the morning when you're sleeping in your bed and then all of a sudden your bedroom's all lit up like the noonday sun, you go, wow, what is that? Oh, the power came on. It woke me up from my sleep. That's what happened with them. And that moment in time when the Holy Spirit came, and it was like they had left the switch on and the power came on and something transformed them from the inside out. Those who had been saved through faith by grace, in Jesus Christ, were gifted and empowered in that moment to take the gospel out into the world. So much so that one moment they were afraid and living in fear and hiding out, to the next moment they were willing to go out and say, if I die doing this, I don't really care anymore. Because that's what Jesus has called me and enabled me to do. One moment they were cowards, weak and powerless, hiding and scared for their lives. The next, they were willing to risk it all. Acts chapter 4, verses 18 through 20 says, then they called them in again and commanded them not to speak or teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John replied, judge for yourself whether it is right in God's sight to obey you rather than God, for we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard. What they were saying is, I'd rather you kill me than not tell everybody about Jesus. I would rather lose my life for my Savior than to sit silent and just get by. You know, what's interesting is they were willing to lose it all and be killed for Jesus. But most people today, many Christians today, act like it would kill them to tell anybody, to tell the world about Jesus. So what's keeping us from powering up and to save the world with the help of Jesus? I don't know if we're willing to flip the switch. I don't know if we're willing to risk it all. I don't know if we're willing to lose it all for the sake of the one who gave all so that we could. You know, last week Thomas asked this question. He said, if you were a Christian, raise your hand. And all but a few people raised their hand. And those of you, if you didn't, I applaud you for your honesty, and I thank you for that. If at least you're here and you're trying to get some of your questions answered before you take a leap of faith, because it is a big leap. But the wonderful thing is this: he said, raise your hand. Someone told me a day later. He says, you know what? I felt that was. I don't usually raise my hand ever when you tell us to raise your hand, Vince. That's dumb. And I'm like, well, thank you. But raising my hand to say that I'm a Christian and I believe in Jesus, I felt was worthy of me raising my hand. And I'm like, well, thank you. Wait, Thomas is like, thank you, but he doesn't know, but now he does, so it's good. But the crazy thing about it is, it seems like it's too much effort for a lot of people to even raise their hand to say they love Jesus. Most everybody raised their hand, saying they have a faith in Jesus as their Savior. But is Jesus enough of a Savior for you that he's Lord of your life? And if it calls you to sacrifice it for him, would you? See, that's a tough question that we have to lose all of our comfort for. We have to be willing to risk it all for. We may even have to get on a plane totally infected with coronavirus fly to Alaska and do a missions trip. There ain't enough hand sanitizer in the world for that, but by faith we shall. Right, Richard? That's right. He told me shut up and fly, boy, but that's all right. But you know what's interesting is one minute those individuals were cowards, weak, and powerless, hiding, scared for their lives, and the next minute they were willing to die. Why is it we're not accomplishing things like that for the kingdom? Why are we Christians living in fear today? Things are getting bad. They've always been bad, folks. Things are getting worse. They were really worse. What's the difference is most of us aren't willing to stand up, stand out, and live out for Jesus. Why are we remaining silent when everything that we have has been flooded into us? We just need to flip the switch and step out in faith and go. I sat in my office this week and I wondered, where are the superstars sacrificing everything, risking everything for the kingdom of God? Now, there are those who are superstars in our eyes because they've got big stadiums that they fill up week after week with people who come in and go, oh, I just think this is the greatest. Our pastor's the best. Now, just so nothing goes to me, you know, I try to keep myself level on the ground with normalcy, and I know that I'm not the best, right? But it was weird. In the same 24-hour period, I had Brian Roosh walked up to me, and he says, he walks up as we're walking at state basketball. He walks up to me, and he goes, I heard a joke the other day. There is this woman who had a bumper sticker, and it said, honk if you love Jesus. And he looked at me, he says, I told you I listen to your message every week. And I laughed because you guys remember, someone honked at her because they love Jesus too, and she flipped them off. You remember that joke? You guys remember? And I was laughing, and then that was on Friday, and Saturday, Hannah comes over, and she goes, I got to tell you something, Dad. This is the weirdest thing ever. And she goes, I work with a guy, and his name's Joel Zink, and every week he goes up to Warren and hangs out with his mom, and they listen to the radio. And she's like in her 80s, and she goes and tells everybody that she knows that her son works with the daughter of the pastor on the radio. Woo! And I'm like, wow, that doesn't get you into heaven, you know? But the funny thing is, I didn't think anybody was listening or caring, but Zink family from Warren, good morning. You know, they're going to, see, next week, I can't wait. They're going to go like, oh, they do. But it's going to be funny, and I can't wait till Hannah goes, Dad, this is what happened. Yeah. But you know what's weird? Is that we here are tapped into Jesus, and for some crazy reason, that goes on the radio, and that radio powers up, and it pops out of Savannah, and it goes up to Warren, and someone up in Warren is actually listening on a Sunday morning. Why? Because we want the world to know about Jesus. We want hurting people to know about Jesus, that he is there and he's able. But back to the question about where the superstar is sacrificing everything and risking everything for the kingdom of God, not building their own kingdom. And I say that because, you know what, one day I'll be dead and gone and nobody will remember me. But my hope is everybody will remember Jesus. And maybe, like the other night on Wednesday night, this little girl hurting and needing Jesus, when I talked to her about making Jesus Savior and Lord, she prayed and did so. That we risk it all, whether it's helping out at Awana or just speaking up in the streets. But, you know, superstars don't end well typically. The disciples all died horrible deaths. The early church was persecuted and stomped on and murdered off. But that didn't stop Jesus, through the power of the Holy Spirit, from spreading the gospel through his people across the world. And just for Thomas's sake, because he loves dead old British men and their quotes, there is a dude named Hudson Taylor, and the father of modern missions movement, was passionate about reaching Asia for Christ. He started in China Inland Missions, I think that's the name of it. He gave everything in his entire life to reach China. And we can later thank him for the Wuhan virus being brought over here. But his heart and his passion was, give me Asia lest I die. He believed in what God was calling him to do to the point that he was willing to die there to spread the gospel there. He gave everything because he believed that the one who called him and saved him sent him. You know, Billy Graham took the gospel to the world and never gave up. For over 6 decades, he preached the gospel. And his wife, Ruth Bell Graham, the interesting thing, she was a daughter of missionaries to China. I wonder if that's part of the never give up power that they had, was because they were willing to risk it all, no matter what it cost them. Together, they believed that they could reach every last person in the world with the gospel and did everything that they could to do so. And for 6 decades, they labored on. They left behind a legacy with Anne Graham Lotz, Franklin Graham, and other children and grandchildren following their passion to reach the world for Christ. But theirs isn't a wonderful story of complete success, because their children and grandchildren were drug dealers and divorced, falling apart families, and everything else you can imagine. But you know what? They didn't let the failures of their family or the mistakes, countless mistakes they made along the way in those 60 years, deter them from stepping forward to share the gospel with anyone. You see, it's imperfect people like you and me, empowered by the Holy Spirit, who can go out and share the gospel about a transformational relationship with Jesus Christ that will transform a sinner like me. So if there's hope for me in Jesus, there's hope for you in him as well. But it takes people willing to risk it all to go out and do such things as this. We look at Hudson Taylors and Billy Grahams and all these fantastic people in the spotlight, and we look at them and say, I can't be like them. And the question I have is, why? Are they any better than us? No, they're not. They're wretches saved by grace through faith. Are they smarter than us? No, they're not. They're probably more studied and more have a little more ability than us, but they're not smarter. Or, okay, we can catch up if we try. Are they stronger than us? Guess what? Every great man of God, every great woman of God has died. We're still kicking. Are they better equipped than we are right now? No. Because guess what? You want a simple plan of salvation? They had to study. They had to figure out and memorize and walk through. All we got to do is Google it. How do I lead someone to Jesus? Bink. Okay. This says, in a matter of seconds, we can have more than they knew. In a matter of seconds, we can have all that they knew. You know what made them stand out a little more than we can at this point? As they exercised their faith daily and they believed God with all of their faith. They believed God would use them to do what he called them to do. They believed the gospel message, and they believed it would save everyone who heard it. And like the early church, they said, I'd rather die than keep my mouth shut. See, the cool thing is, like Paul, they believed. They believed everything that God could do through them. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do everything through him who gives me strength. I can do everything through him who gives me strength. You know, it's like this little train over here that Barb brought in. I walked in and I saw a table and I'm like, uh-oh, some kid's going to knock that over. And I looked and I saw a little train. I'm like, ooh, cool, a train. And I looked and I was like, oh, there's no engine. She must have snuck a peek at my sermon about power up. But what was interesting is it was very adequate, wasn't it? We can have the coal car. We can have the tanker. We can have the dining car. We can have it all. But without the engine, we can't get anywhere. We can have everything, but without Jesus, we go nowhere. With the power of Jesus, we can go through and do anything. See, the power of Jesus has overcome death and hell to save us. The power of Jesus will help us overpower the temptation of sin in our lives with the help of God. You see, ladies and gentlemen, if there's these plaguing sins in your life that you know that God's word speaks against, don't worry about what Vince has to say. Just worry what God has to say in his word. That's what you're going to be held accountable. You're not going to be held accountable to or by Vince. God will. But here's the thing. If you've got a sin in your life that you keep walking through the door in and turning the light switch on for, the Holy Spirit is there to keep you, help you turn off the light switch and lock the door. Romans 6:1 and 2. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Gang, come on. Kick the sin out. Because God's put the boot on your foot to do so. Have the courage to be like Peter and John, who said, judge for yourselves whether it's right for us in God's sight to obey you rather than God, for we cannot help but speak about what we've seen and heard. You see, ladies and gentlemen, you either believe the gospel and all of it and what it can do for your life, or you really don't believe much of it. But what's awesome is, like Paul, they believed, but they also believed that they were not alone in the cause. Matthew 28:18-20, it says, Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. Oh, and by the way, I'm with you always, to the very end of the age. He is the one who said, I'll never leave you as orphans. I will never leave you or forsake you. I'm always with you because I'm going to give you this Holy Spirit to take you where you are to go. Thomas, you ready? Hudson Taylor, I argue with you. You like old British dead men quotes, right? Hudson Taylor is as much alive today as he's ever been in the day of from his first breath, because he's with Jesus. But he said, all God's giants have been weak men who did great things for God because they reckoned God on being with them. You see, the Hudson Taylors, the Billy Grahams, all of these incredible men and women of God that have lived throughout time did it because they knew in the depths of their soul that Jesus walked right by their side the whole time. They jumped on a boat. They went to another country that was not their own. They learned it. They did it because they knew Jesus was with them. They didn't question. They didn't doubt. Maybe if we lived more like Jesus is right by our side instead of in heaven, maybe we wouldn't do half the stuff we try to pull off on a daily basis. See, what's cool is where Thomas and I differ. Yeah, he's there. I know he's there. He just likes to bring up those dead guys as that. But men of God who died serving Jesus just move on to glory, which is what each and every one of us want to do, right? See, here's one of the things. If we believe all of Scripture and we can trust it for salvation and eternal life, and we can trust it for the Holy Spirit indwelling us to accomplish His sanctifying work in us and power us up to go out and take what we believe into all the world, we can share the knowledge of Jesus Christ with anybody, with all those who are yet to believe. And we can do it because He has called us, He has saved us, and He's working to perfect us at this very moment. And He has also sent us to do impossible things with His helping hand guiding us. Hudson Taylor was a man full of great quotable quotes because he was a man filled with the great and holy God. He's the one who said that old phrase that was robbed by Blackaby, God's work done in God's way will never lack God's provision. And what's amazing is this. We go back to that Philippians 4:13. I can do everything through Him who gives me strength. And we go straight to Ephesians 6:10. It says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. You know what it's going to take to change the world you live in? You powering up and flipping the switch. You're the only one God's calling to change your world and the world around you. Right where you're at. I don't need to come to your neighborhood. You're there. Flip the porch light on. Flip the Jesus light on in your heart so that the whole world will see Him. Man, this is too big a task. I mean, you don't know the people that live in my neighborhood, Vince. I love it. Hudson Taylor's got a quote for that. There are three stages in every great work of God. First, it's impossible. Ain't gonna happen. Then, it's difficult. And because of God, then it's done. Three stages in every great work of God. First, it's impossible. Then, it's difficult. Then, it's done. Period. There will come a time when He says, it's really finished. Are you going to help Him? Right where you're at, are you going to help Him? So, hey, I'm rounding this down. So what impossible thing done for Christ is He calling you to accomplish for His kingdom? That thing that He has planted in your heart to change the world or to reach the world with the gospel. If you don't know something, find someone crazy enough that and is doing anything to spread the gospel and just go join them. See where God sparks in your soul and sets it ablaze for Him. Go on a missions trip with coronavirus all the way to Alaska. Makes perfect sense. Go on a missions trip to the Pitter Panter Pantry. The Great Outreach. To the food pantry. Mow your neighbor's grass. Rake their leaves. Do something to get the ball rolling and let God direct where it goes. Put down your phone. Turn off the TV and computer. Pick up your Bible and get on your knees before God and ask Him one thing. With whatever time I have left on this earth,
What do you want me to do with it?
That is the most important question you can ask. God, with whatever time I have left on this earth, whether it be today or 20 years from now, what do you want me to do with my time for you? And do it. Whatever it takes. Whatever God's burning in you, do it. And when things get unclear and crazy and you just don't know what to do, Hudson Taylor's got a quote for that. When I cannot read, when I cannot think, when I cannot even pray, I can still trust. But the one who is faithful and called you and sent you will do something in you and through you to change the world. But you're going to have to trust that he will show you what it is, and you have to ask him if he's already shown you, and maybe you've shelved it thinking, I can't do that. Remember, it's impossible first, then it's just hard, and then it's done. But you're going to have to be willing to obey when he calls, and he will call. See, ladies and gentlemen, every word in the Bible is true. Every warning in the Bible for us is there and true. Every promise given to us is there and true in ours through Jesus. And every command in the Bible is there and enforced by him over our lives. All of it's true. We must believe it, we must receive it, we must obey it, and we most certainly need to do it. So let's pray. God, I thank you that you are the source of all power and authority in heaven and on earth, and you have left the light on for us. You have powered us up through the presence of your Holy Spirit. And Lord, when we come to trust you by faith, it's like the power comes on and someone left the switch on and replaced all the bulbs in our lives with 100-watt LEDs that shine extremely bright, and you can see them from miles away when you go by my end of my road. And Lord, you're calling each one of us to step out by faith in you. Help us to do so. And with whatever time that we have left on this earth, what do you want us to do? You've invited us to do it. Help us to have faith enough to do it. In Jesus' name, all God's people said, amen.